Last week, we started talking about the Holy Ghost. And I believe if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be. Everyone that I've ever talked to when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, their life's changed. Everyone I've ever talked to. And some people are afraid of it because they don't understand it. Do you understand God completely? He's a little bigger than us, amen? His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. So it's not about you being able to put something in a box, and then you say, okay, I will do this as long as it lines up with how I think. Ho, is the church in trouble? If we go by the way that we think, we need to go by what the Word of God says. Amen? And you know, when we fall in love with the Lord, I don't know about you, but I want every single one of his gifts. I want every one. I want every single one of his promises to be expressed through my life. I want him. I want a relationship with him that is so intimate that no matter where I walk, I hear his voice and I understand what his plan is for my life. I don't know about you. Yesterday was just such an incredible display of God's glory. Amen. The sun was shining. The leaves are changing. It was just a gorgeous, gorgeous day. We were working about 4 o'clock. We stopped and we just sat on the back deck and we just stared. We didn't talk. We didn't do nothing. Just looked at what God has created. And it's stunning. This morning, I was down by the river just before sunrise, and that sun was coming up, and then you watch the valley just start to get lit up, and all the different colors just go on display. God saying, I want you to understand just how incredible my love is for you, that I want to display all the colors here, and I want you to be able to take time to enjoy it. Maybe yesterday you didn't have time. Maybe you're working or whatever, and you didn't have time to enjoy it. I want to encourage you today, stop. And just go look and enjoy the moment, because these moments are fleeting, amen? Our lives are fleeting. Lives are, come to their fulfillment rather quickly. It's amazing how quickly you get to 58, 59, 60. You don't think like it. You still think like you're 28 years old. But your body says you ain't. So this morning, as we look at the Holy Spirit is truth, and he brings truth, he unfolds the truth, he opens up the truth for each and every one of us, and we need him, because truth is quite objective these days, or subjective, I should say, instead of objective. But let's go before the Lord and pray, shall we? Father, we come today, and we're just so thankful as we look at your splendor, the beauty, oh God, of your majesty, all of it on display today. And Father, as we come and we stand before you this morning and worship you, as we stood there in awe of the power of your love towards us, your grace being brand new this morning, oh, thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the grace being poured out upon each and every one. Your hand resting upon each one that has named the name of Jesus Christ. Your hedge of protection around each one that names the name of Jesus Christ. Your love that's from everlasting to everlasting for each one that has named the name of Jesus Christ. Your redemption that was complete on the day that we received it, all because of your great love towards us. Oh, Father, we just rest in you today. We cast off any kind of a yoke that would come, that the world would try to place there, that says you can't because, you're not because, you won't have because. All of these things that the world says to try to trap, to try to stunt the growth of the body of Christ, so that with one voice we proclaim, with God all things are possible. Lord, today, every thought that's not of you, we just cast it down. You said, take it captive. Take it captive. Anything that has said we are less than what you have already promised and given us and reminded us over and over again, we just throw it aside. And we remind ourselves that we truly are free indeed this morning because of the power of your great love. So therefore, Father, because of your freedom, because of your perfect peace upon our lives, we have nothing else to do but to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in everything. No matter what comes, we're going to rejoice knowing that you're able to bring us through. All because of your great love, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm washed and cleansed and made whole. All because of him. I believe that God's preparing you. Tell your neighbor, say you. For a great outpouring. There's an outpouring coming. And those that are paying attention will walk in it. I want to encourage you. Those that are paying attention will walk in it. Not if you're out there running around chasing after your dreams and playing games with God, but when those, and I believe this is a time to get serious about the things of God. I believe the church needs to be in the Word and in prayer every morning before you walk out of your door, prepared to give someone an answer to whatever they're going through. We're the ones that God has given wisdom to liberally. Amen? Amen. Right. You tell your neighbor, say, I've got it.
I've got it.
Right. Tell your other neighbor, say, I definitely have it. Listen, you have wisdom to set the captives free when we're listening and paying attention to the things of God. We already have it. We have answers. When we get into the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we memorize the Word of God. No matter what comes, we have an answer for those that are hurting. We have deliverance for those that are in bondage. We have freedom for the captives. We have healing for the sick. All of these things we have in the Word of God. And for those that are going to be listening, I believe that God's getting ready. And he's already doing it. He's already stirring in the hearts of men and women. But it's for those that are listening to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Three of us agree. Because we cannot just sit there, do whatever we want to do, hang out, listen to nothing, not read, not pray, and just say, Lord, use me. It's not how it works. If you've ever had a job, you know when the guy that comes in and punches in at 9:03 to 9 every day, and 2 seconds after 4 p.m., bang, he's checking out. The one that looks to get out of work rather than give himself to it, because everything we do under the Lord. Amen? We know that they don't receive much of anything. But for those who go above and beyond, those who say, I'm madly in love with the Father, and I want him above all else, he will open up the windows of heaven for each and every one. And he will use us to change those around us. I believe there's a great outpouring coming, and there's a harvest coming. But it cannot be our words. It has to be his words. And we're going to have to be in his word. Because when the harvest comes, can you lead them in understanding redemption through the scriptures? That's Christianity 101, amen? Right? Can we lead them into a fulfillment of what it means to be baptized in the Holy Ghost through scripture? Because you see, this is what God wants us to do. This is what Jesus did. He said what the Father said. He did what the Father told him to do. And now the Holy Spirit says he doesn't do what he wants to do. The only thing he does is glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he came here to do, empower you so that you don't get distracted. I don't get distracted. I don't get overwhelmed by the cares of this world, so that everything about me glorifies him. Every thought I have, he brings it into captivity. He says, hang on, don't go there again, boy. You know how many times he's told me that? This morning? I don't know about you, but when I get into prayer, I was walking down to the river and walking up and back. And I'll be praying, and all of a sudden, a stupid thought comes in, a distraction. And what in the world? How did I get on that? What the heck does that have to do with anything? Nothing except to distract me. And the Holy Spirit said, hold it, hold it, hold it. Hang on, hang, ho, ho, ho. Oh, yeah. Okay, you're right. And then I get back on track. That's what the Holy Ghost wants us to do. And that's why he's there. He knows how weak this flesh is. Look at your neighbor. Talk about pathetic flesh. Our flesh is weak, amen? But the Spirit of God is strong in you. The Spirit of God in you is unstoppable. He cannot be destroyed. There's nothing that's impossible because of who lives on the inside of you. That's good news. Man, if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4. Just to see who the Holy Spirit is here. He said, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So here we see the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? We know it's God the Father, God the Holy, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or God the Holy Spirit. And here, the scripture is quite clear. You haven't lied to man, but you've lied to God. And the Holy Spirit wasn't happy. And there was a penalty for them lying to God. And he said, the feet of the men that took out your husband are coming for you. To Sapphira, his wife. And both of them dropped dead. The Holy Spirit's a real person. He's not just a breath, he's not wind, he's not fire. We discussed some of that last week. But he's a person because he has the characteristics of people where he can be grieved. Amen? How many times have we grieved the Holy Ghost when words flew out of our mouths without thinking, without lining them up with the Word of God? God's giving us the Holy Ghost to strengthen us so that we're not weak in that anymore. Right? Not a show of hands, but how many know how often we walk in weakness because of one word that comes from one human being? Yeah. Right? One conversation. You could be walking in faith, and then all of a sudden you hear one thing that goes against you. And then we want to throw in the towel. We get upset, and then we start thinking wrong thoughts or speaking wrong words, and the Holy Spirit's coming. The reason why God gave them to us is because he knew the weakness of the flesh. And he knew he would need the Holy Spirit to walk strong, especially in the miraculous things he wants you to do so that you don't lift up your own head and think that it has anything to do with you. It's the Christ in you, amen? It's the Christ in us. It's the Holy Ghost in us that strengthens and empowers us. You know, a real person has attributes and personalities which include the mind, will, and emotions. And the Holy Spirit has the same thing, and he distributes spiritual gifts to Christians as he wills. The Holy Spirit has a mind, and he searches the deep things of God, and he knows them. The Holy Spirit has emotions. And we are told to grieve not the Holy Ghost, as we already said. If the Holy Spirit can be grieved, he has emotions, because the Holy Spirit has a mind and a will and emotions. We know that he is a person. In John 16, we started reading last week. Turn over there to verse 12 to 15. And he says in verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit of what? Truth. The only thing he's ever going to speak to you is truth. We said that last week, but we got to reiterate that. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's never going to lie to you. He never, ever will. Therefore, he's never going to say something to you against the Word of God, because the Word of God is what? Truth, right? So we know that's where our whole truth comes from. Nothing but the truth. That's why some places they still put their hand on the Bible. Put your right hand on the Bible, the blessing of God. Raise your left hand and repeat after me. Do you swear to tell the truth? The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So help you God. That's a powerful statement that used to be in America, and it used to mean something. Now they do, and people lie like a rug. They get up there, they don't even care. They put their hand in the Bible, they say it, and they just say, oh, I'm going to lie, I'm going to perjure myself, nobody's going to do nothing anyway. They've taken the Word of God in the world has, and they brought it down to a common book, but not us. It's the truth. For all of eternity, for everyone that believes. He's a Spirit of truth that's come, and he will guide you into all truth. He's not going to guide you into a lie. He's not going to guide you sideways. He's not going to guide you into the desert or a time where you just want nothing to do with the things of God. That's only in our own mind. But God's going to bring us always back into his presence. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So therefore, every one of us should prophesy, because he wants to tell you the things to come, right? That's what he wants to do. He will tell you of things to come. People want to know, I don't know what's coming. Spend some time with the Holy Ghost. Sit with the Word of God and read. Spend some time in prayer. Sit with the Holy Ghost and listen. See what he's speaking. He wants to tell you, hey, get ready. Get ready. Some economists right now are saying, get ready, because it's going to get worse financially. Who knows what that means? Who knows which ones are true? I know the Word of God is true. And the Word of God says, be in debt to no man. Then you don't have to worry about what the economy does. Amen? This is what he said, be in debt to no man. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. In verse 14, he says, he will glorify me. That's what the Spirit of God is going to do. He's not going to glorify himself. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done glorifying myself. Right. You know, just think about this for a second. In all of your conversations this week, in all the things that you discussed with everybody this week, how much of it was about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords compared to the foolish things of this world? How much of it? See, when Jesus, he said, the only thing I do is what the Father has sent me to do. Now, we have been redeemed, and so you are like Christ on the earth. Amen? You're not Christ, but you are like him. So our desire needs to be that he's glorified in the earth. But when we think about all the conversations that we've had all week, how many of them did we simply speak about the good things of God? How many of them did the Holy Spirit prompt us? And I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just asking questions. But how many times did the Holy Spirit prompt us to say something this week and we drew back, we held back? Why is that? Because the world doesn't want to receive the Word of God. I didn't want to receive the Word of God when someone spoke it over me, but it still went to work in me. You didn't want the Word of God when someone spoke it over you, but it still went to work in you. And so, why are we holding back from proclaiming the words that are truth? We just said it in the Word of God. Thy word is truth. Why is it that the most powerful words on this planet and the body of Christ refuses to share them sometimes? Why is that in our lives? Why do we allow that thought process to come in and control a lot of the conversation? I won't say everyone, but probably a majority of it all week is about earthly things rather than supernatural things. And we wonder why the supernatural isn't being expressed in or through us into other people's lives. Because we're going to have to speak supernatural things. We're going to have to speak about the things of God. Amen? If all of our conversations are natural, we're going to get natural results. But when our conversation starts to turn supernatural, we're going to get supernatural results. I don't know about you, but I've had enough natural results. I'm still living out some of those natural results that I thought I needed that I don't need. Some of the things I wanted that I don't want. Some of the things I'm selling because I don't want them anymore. I don't need them anymore. But yet, at one time, they were things that we have to have these. Our conversation was about that. We researched it. We go on the internet and try to find it everywhere, anywhere, the cheapest way we possibly can because we have to have it in order to sell it at a yard sale in 5 years. But our conversation with everyone around, hey, do you know anywhere I can get this? Hey, do you know anything about this? You know anything about that? And we talk to everyone about so many things that we're going to give away at a yard sale or sell or put a big free sign at the end of the yard sale. Yeah. There's people that actually go to those, to all the ones where it says free. They take the stuff and then they go sell it at theirs. It's genius. Why not? One man's junk's another man's treasure, amen? And there's people that actually do that. They go around and clean up everybody else's yard. What's that? Works for my wife, she said. Throw it out there. Yeah, that's what I mean. Throw it out there, get it done for free. We don't care what you do with it. And you know, and that's the difference between things of this world and the word of God, because God does care what you do with it. He does care what each and every one of us do with his word. His word is priceless. His word is powerful. His word doesn't end even when we die. His word stays the same. The Holy Spirit will only guide you into truth. The simple definition of what the Bible says is truth, because truth is quite subjective these days to some people. But the truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Can we agree with that? Truth is a self-expression of God. Truth is theological. When you in order to understand truth, you're going to have to understand and study God. You can't understand what truth is outside of God. You cannot know what truth is outside of who God is, because he's the creator. He's created everything here. So unless we study who God is, we're never going to know what the truth is. Unless we share who Christ is, they're never going to know what the truth is. Unless they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they're never going to understand truth. Truth will always be subjective to whatever they feel at the time. And Lord knows that's out of control these days. There's also a word, truth is ontological, which is a fancy way of saying it is the way things really are. Right? However we're living outside the word of God, that's not the way the things really are. Because the way things really are is what the word of God says. Right? That's the way things really are. They have been from eternity past to eternity future. This little space-time continuum that we're in, that is not what the truth is. The truth is whatever he said it was. So yes, we're in this and this is the truth. We're living in time. But that ends eventually. Truth is whatever he said it is. Reality is what it is because God declared it so and made it so. The reality is you're a human being. There's no aliens in here that I can see. That's the reality. That's what God said. The reality is if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a son or a daughter of God. That's the reality. That's the truth according to the word of God. The truth is that if you ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. Because that's what the word of God says. Amen? It's not, well, if I get a fuzzy feeling, well, if I fall out, well, if I start speaking in tongues immediately. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that as many as asked, received. So if you ask, you're going to what? Receive it. See, that's the truth. The truth is you're going to receive it. Your natural man might disagree with you, but the truth is still the truth. Because if you ask, God says he's going to give it to you. Does God change? No. Does he lie? No. So you get to receive from God. God's the author, the source, the determiner, the governor, the arbiter, the ultimate standard, and the final judge of all truth. The word of God is the ultimate judge of all truth. Everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we plan must be in light of what the word of God says. A lot of people are planning their whole lives out, right? Like the scripture says, bigger barns. I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. We got some pretty big barns in America. You go by and look at the barn that Amazon built up there on 90. That thing's huge. They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger warehouses. And guess what? It'll never be enough. This is what I'm going to do with my life. I want you to know something. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he wasn't interested in how many barns you built. He was interested in how many children that he created that you're supposed to share with. That's what he's focused on. He said, I'll meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory. How big is God's barn? How big is his warehouse? All of these boys running around the earth wanting to outdo each other, right? We've got the tallest skyscraper. Oh, I engineered that. These guys all running around challenging each other, trying to impress each other for something that's going to burn. It's going to burn. So we've got to be those that are focused on building the kingdom of God. The Old Testament refers to the Almighty as the God of truth, in whether it's Deuteronomy and Psalms and Isaiah. And Jesus, he said, I am the truth. That's pretty cut and dry, amen? And that's the only thing the Holy Spirit's ever going to lead you in. He's never going to lead you in another direction. He will never try to get you to do something wrong. When you do something wrong, he will encourage you to repent and apologize quickly. Quickly. One time years ago, there's a gentleman I was dealing with, and he had he was unfaithful to his wife. And so I went and I sat with him, and I said, listen, he started coming to this church. He hadn't been to the church, and he started coming here. And I said, listen, I don't want you prophesying over anybody. I don't want you praying over anybody. He just started coming here because I had heard about what had happened. And he said, I wasn't looking for leadership. I said, we're not talking about leadership. We're talking about you coming here. He said, why? I said, well, is this true? Is this what's been going on in your life? He said, the Holy Spirit didn't convict me of this for a whole year. Could you imagine saying something so silly? We step outside the realm of what God's word says, and then we're going to actually try to convince people that the Holy Ghost never said it was anything wrong with it. Now, that's an extreme case. How many times have we used that excuse? Thought it or didn't act on what the Holy Spirit said to do quickly. We let it go, we let it fester until somebody else had to come along and say, hey, did you go deal with that situation? Oh, come on, brother, give me a break. I've been really busy. What have you been doing? Building a bigger barn. You know, no matter whether it's an extreme case or not, the issue is, are we going to listen to the Holy Ghost? And we're going to listen to him quickly because he's going to bring you through a valley very fast. He's incredible like that if we obey him. Amen? He's also making clear that all truth must ultimately be defined in the terms of God and his eternal glory. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, Hebrews 1:3. The only thing Jesus is going to do is what the Father said. The only thing the Holy Spirit's going to bring to your life and encourage you in is the truth. He's never going to encourage you to walk in any other way. Jesus also said that the truth is a written word of God. It does not merely contain nuggets of truth. How many Christians only enjoy the nuggets of truth but leave off a lot of the truth? Churches today. Right, we talked about cessationists last time, right, which means to cease, and they say that all the supernatural acts ceased with the last apostles. All of those gifts were done. Now, I don't know about you, but I want each of my children to have gifts when we pass away, and I want each one of them to have as much as I can possibly give them as far as the power and the word of God in the Holy Ghost, righteousness, peace, joy, all of these things I want them to have and possess. The monetary things, who cares? They go make your own. Right? I remember one multimillionaire, he said, the best thing I ever gave my kids was nothing. He said, you go out and work for it. So the monetary things, we're going to get by in life. People are going to work hard if you want to, and you're going to make it. But I want to give my kids everything that they need to be successful. Everything. I want to pour it in, but I want each one of them to have the fullness of it all. So if that's true, why would God say, hey, for the first 12 or 15 or 20 or however many apostles there were, because there's quite a few more named in the scriptures outside of just the 12, I'm going to give these guys special power and an anointing to go and show and express the love and the power of God on the earth. But the rest of you, you get nothing. You get nothing. You do it in your own strength. You do it in your own ability. Well, you try to figure it out. I'm not going to give you that kind of power in the last days. Could you imagine? What kind of a God would do that to his kids? There isn't there, and you can't prove it according to the scriptures that they ever stopped. It's an impossibility. And this is something that God wants the church to walk in. Every time someone starts walking in the Holy Ghost, listening to the power or the word of God and walking in what the Holy Ghost is speaking to their lives, people around them start to change. Every time. Every time. Whatever's going on in your life, I don't know how rough it is. I don't know where you're at in your life right now, but I want you to know that if you'll ask the Lord, Father, I need the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then when you get into the word of God and you get into prayer and you start studying and listening to the Holy Ghost and acting on what he says, everything in your life starts to change. Everything. Everything starts to change. The first thing that starts to change is you. And oh, do we need that. The truth is pure, unchangeable, and it cannot be broken. John 10:35. Praying to the Heavenly Father on behalf of his disciples, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, John 17:17. And then the word of God is eternal truth, which lives and abides forever. The word of God never ends, 1 Peter 1:23. The word of God never changes. Even when we get to heaven, God's word is still the same. One day, every single person on the earth will experience the pure truth of God's word. Whether they know Jesus Christ or not, everybody is going to experience the power of the truth of God's word. Because when we close our eyes here for the last time, I want you to know, you're going to know the full power of God's word. And he's going to say one of two things, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you foul and wicked thing, and there'll be nobody there to say, wait a minute, can I have a lawyer? He's done. Every decision that we're going to make for eternity is done right here. We have an advocate. And he said, my blood's the only thing that gives you the ability to stand before a holy father. Amen. That's it. Nothing else. Not your works. Not how nice you were. Somebody the other day, I was talking to him, and I just talked to him about the things of God. And they said, well, I'm a really nice person. I said, no, you're not. And they said, what do you mean? I said, because if you're going to say something contrary to the word of God, that nice people go to heaven and mean people go to hell, you can't substantiate that with anything. So you're not a very nice person if you're going to lie against the truth. I don't think that was very nice, they said. But the truth isn't always nice. But it's still the truth, amen? But only through the power of the Holy Ghost are we going to have the ability to stand in front of persecution when people mock and make fun of and they try to twist things to get you to agree with a lie? Well, brother, if it doesn't make you feel good, dear Lord, we have to get rid of that. Jesus didn't die to make you feel good. He died to set you free. You see, the more I fall in love with him, the better I feel. That's right. The more that I believe that, or any one of us, tell your neighbor you're not a failure. You know what? The more you hear that, the more you're going to start to believe that, because that's the truth. You're not a failure. You're not a loser. You're not lost and dying and going to hell if you know Jesus Christ. You're not. You are a child of God. You are filled with the power of God. The word of God is the lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. You have been made whole by the love of God. You're a whole person. There's nothing lacking in you this morning. Therefore, you have no lack when you go stand before people because the Holy Spirit's going to bring back to your remembrance the words that you were reading and studying all the years before. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Right. So you don't have, we were out, where were we? On Green Street. Friday night. For those that came, thank you. For those that blew it off, you should have been there. Sorry. Pastor, that's not very nice. It's the truth. What else is more important than praying for our city and our country? Standing in agreement out there in the word on the street so that they see the body of Christ alive and well. What's more important? I'm looking at the camera just because people are giving me eyes. I'd be a dead man right now if it was by the eyes. But we were out there, we were praying for the leaders of this country, we were praying for the leaders of this city, we were praying for those girls that would have that would make a choice to go in there and destroy a life. And a lady came up to me and she said, I just got to ask you a question. I love it when they do that because they want to talk, right? Sometimes they just scream and swear and act like heathens, right? That's what they act like. We can't. When someone confronts you about what God has done in your life and you standing for the truth, and if they lose their mind on you. Have you ever been there with someone? Oh, yeah. It's intense at first, but then you sit back and you start to giggle a little bit. I don't know about you, too, how you handle it, but I just start to giggle on the inside. And I'm like, this guy's losing his mind. This guy, he's gone. He is so far gone, saliva running out, spraying everywhere. His eyes are crossed. He don't know anything about what he's saying right now. The only thing he knows is if I yell the loudest, I control the conversation, and I'm going to get my point across, and I'm going to change their mind. Nope. That's not happening. But she came up to ask a question. Hang on, before I go there. You can't lose your mind. We've got to be those. Because you see, when the Word of God is our strength and our song, and when the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, that when they start losing control, we just sit back and relax. Let them go for a while. Just giggle on the inside. And then ask the question. Can we have a conversation? Are we going to be able to discuss this? And if they just carry on like they're out of their minds, then you know whether you're going to be able to have a conversation or you're going to have to just leave and pray for the person. But we cannot respond the way that they do. Sometimes people want to say cutting, jabbing, slicing things. Listen, these women that come up to me and say, who do you think you are? Probably some of them have already had an abortion, and I can't imagine carrying that in my life. I don't know what that does, but I've talked to other women and said that they've regretted it their whole lives, and some of them never came out from underneath it. Some of them got victory in Jesus Christ, but it's only through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way, because until you find out that you are forgiven, you don't get rid of that. You cannot walk out of that kind of thinking or that way of thinking. And so my heart always breaks when they come up and they start yelling and screaming because I figure it's a lot of their pain. And that's when the Holy Spirit, sometimes he says, don't say a word. Just wait. And they go through their whole repertoire of their talking points, right? And everybody knows the talking points, whatever they are, for every situation that's going on in America right now because whichever channel you're watching, they all have their talking points trying to prove their point. We have one talking point. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the only talking point we have. That's our truth. He is truth. The Holy Spirit's going to remind us of the truth. When the Spirit of God leads us, he's going to lead us not to do natural things, but supernatural things. Because if you can bring a person to a place of repentance where they say, you know what, maybe I need healing in this area. Maybe I need deliverance in this area. Maybe I need to think about this. And they might not say it when you're talking to them. Maybe it's when they leave. And then they go and they take your words because you didn't yell and scream and cuss and swear. He didn't flip them all. I forgot how many times we got flipped off the other night, Friday night, but somebody was counting. They were like, hey, we got blessed again. Hey, we got blessed again. And that's why we look at it. And you know, when we get a chance to talk to somebody, you get a chance for them to hear something that they can chew on later. They might not agree with you, but they get to chew on it because they hear the truth. And this lady came up and she said, you know, these girls, they are so courageous by making this decision to go in there so their lives aren't ruined at a young age. They're so courageous when they walk in there and it is their body and you are a man who has no idea. Have you ever been pregnant? Regardless of what the U.S. government says, no. Regardless of what these doctors say, no, that's an impossibility, trust me. And then you're standing out here with a sign condemning these girls. And I said, I'm not condemning anyone. I said, I want to bring them to a place of freedom. She said, you don't have a clue. They're so courageous, and it's their body. Who do you think you are? I said, I have no problem with her dealing with her body. What about the other body that's on the inside? Does she have a right to take that one? And do I have a right to defend the one that doesn't have a voice yet? Then, of course, she just turned around and starts yelling and screaming and doesn't want to talk about it. But I was grateful for the conversation that we had. And I didn't have the answers because I didn't even know what the questions were going to be beforehand. But you know what? When you love the lost, when you fall in love with the lost, the Holy Spirit gives you the answers that you need at that moment. If you're going looking for a fight, you're going for the wrong reason. Jesus, God sent his only begotten Son because he loved the world. He loved us in our law and our trespasses and our sins. When does the church walk in the supernatural, Holy Spirit-filled power of love for a lost and dying world? Where our only conversations are about him. Where no matter what's going on, we talk about how God delivered, how God healed, how God set us free, how God renewed our minds, how God did all of these wonderful things. What other conversations are worth talking about? What is there on the planet that has a greater possibility of impacting an entire generation? Matthew 28 says that we're supposed to go and make disciples where? Of all nations. Not an individual, but of all nations. So when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's always going to be that he's going to teach us how to love those that don't even love themselves. Because when you make decisions like some of them have made, you have a hard time loving yourself. And that's our job to come and bring wisdom and understanding through the Holy Ghost on how to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Tell your neighbor, say, that's for you. That's for you. Right. And you shall be what? Witnesses. Why did you get power? To become a witness. You don't get the power of the Holy Ghost and then go into the witness protection agency. That's what the church has done. Let's hide in the four walls of the church, the witness protection program. Until Jesus comes, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you. 30 more years, we love you, Lord. Shambhala, kambhala, yamadara, shee, we love you, Lord. I got the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues inside the four walls. Woo, I'm free. Out there, it's scary. Out there, how are they going to treat me? Same way they treated Jesus. How are they going to talk to me? Same way they talked to him. They lied about him. But the Holy Ghost says, that's all right. Don't pay no attention to their word. Just agree with his word. That's why I came upon you. I want you powerful enough that no matter what the enemy brings against you, you're able to stand. The Bible says when you've done all what? Stand. When you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, listen, stand, because the enemy wants you. The only thing he cares about you to do is stop preaching the word of God. That's what he wants. He doesn't want the church preaching the word of God outside these four walls. Because he knows that word sets them free from his lies. That word sets them free from the wrong decisions that they made. That word sets them free so that they walk out of here and they change entire nations. And you look like God and he hates him because he knows that his fate has already been sealed. Back to verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Look at that. God gave you the end of the earth. He didn't relinquish you and say, you can only do it in Hudson. You can only do it in Catskill. You can only do it in the Twin Counties. He said, look, I'm going to empower you that even when you share things overseas, they're going to understand you because the Holy Ghost is going to interpret everything. I can't tell you how many men I've listened to that have preached the word of God in English and people heard it in different languages. Holy Spirit's incredible. But you know what they had to do first? They had to save up their money. They had to get on an airplane. They had to obey the word of God. They had to land in another country. Then they had to stand up and speak the word of God. And then the miraculous started to happen. You don't have to go to another country. You can stand up in your house and start to pray in your house, preach in your house, and watch the miracle power of God start to manifest itself in your family. Anybody here have a family member that's not saved? Anybody here have a family member that needs deliverance? We all have them, that's right. You see, so we have the power to set the captives free. Tell your neighbor, say, you got the power. Tell your other neighbor, say, I got the power. You've got it when you receive the Holy Ghost. He said, I want you to have this power because you're going to be a witness. That means you're going to stand up. It's not that you're a witness to a whole big group of people. Oh, God called me to be a witness over here. He just called you to be a witness every single day. That means when you get out of bed, you start your witness. Won't that be nice in your house? Hey, here comes old grumbly guts. Oh, wait a minute. What happened to you? You're happy this morning. Kind words? When did you start speaking kind words? This morning. Why? I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. God started to change the way that I think. Because I'm to be a witness every morning, every afternoon, every evening, every day, all day long. I'm to proclaim what he has said over your life, including my own. I believe with all my heart that this is the time and the season that the church is coming into, that we need each one walking out their gifting. So many are afraid to walk out their gifting, though. They're afraid to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of you play instruments. Some of you sing. Some of you are called to preach. I'm looking down at the carpet just so. There's so many gifts in this house. Yeah. Sitting. Not using. You're utilizing. Therefore, the world is not receiving what God has deposited in each one of us. Does God have a right to expect a return on the deposit he made in each one of us? Yes. He has a right. In your mind, he has a right to expect a return on the deposit that he made. It's not something that we hope for. It's something that we plan on. It's something that we pray about. It's something that we step out in. And every time people have stepped out in faith, and it's an act of faith to step it out. Because if we come to church every week with no one new sitting next to us, year after year. Now, listen, for a couple of weeks, not a problem, a couple of months maybe, while God's working on you on the inside, but does his word work? Yes. Does it have, okay, thank you, honey. Does his word have power? Yes, my wife agreed with me again. This is an incredible morning. His word has power. His word changes lives. And if we're speaking his word through the leading of the Holy Ghost, people's lives will be changed. You were changed because of the word of God spoken to your life or over your life. That's how you were changed. And I want you to know, somebody be sitting next to you when you proclaim his word, if that's the focus of our conversation as the body of Christ. People's lives are going to start to change. And that's what we're looking for. I thank God for the transformation in your life. It's beautiful. It's amazing what God has done in your life. It's incredible. Don't we want others to enjoy that too? So when it comes to the Word of God, when we receive the Holy Ghost, the power of God imputed to us to stand in the midst of everyone. Of everyone, and proclaim Jesus Christ. I remember when I was in the driver's room when I used to drive a car carrier for the union. And I remember being in the, where you pick your load and there's like 25 drivers all there, 28 drivers, wherever there are, all in one room. And I remember walking in and I remember the Holy Ghost said, just share with them. And I'm like, I'm gonna, just not today. I was a coward. See, because I thought, what are they going to think of me? I thought, what if I don't say it right? I thought, what happens if this goes sideways? They're going to mock me. They're going to make fun of me. All I thought about was me. The next week, I go back in. Holy Ghost says again, hey, share with these guys. And I didn't. And then all of a sudden, a few months down the road, I walked in and I said, hey guys, I just want you guys to know we're making a couple changes around here. They said, oh yeah, what's the changes? I said, number one, we're not using the Lord's name in vain when we're all together. I said, I can't stand it. He's my God, he's my King, he's my Lord, and he's my Savior, and I love him. And they were like, whatever. I said, no, that's the way it works. And we all have to get in the van and drive out to the cars, and then they drop you off the car, and you drive it to your truck and load it on your truck. And I said, there's three or four Christians in this room, and we're all tired of listening to that kind of talk. We're here to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why we're here. We haul cars, but we're proclaiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what we're doing. Right, Lan? And so as we stand on the Word of God, and I said, this is the way we're going to do it. If you're going to use the Lord's name in vain, we're going to throw you out of the van when we're driving around. They said, yeah, whatever. 2 weeks later, we're driving along, and everybody stopped cursing and swearing, and we got to share Christ with all of them. We got to share Christ with all of them, not because of anything that I did. It was all because of what the Holy Ghost did. All we had to do was share it. One guy said something about my wife. He came up and he repented to me in front of all the drivers because of a crude remark he made about my wife, and I corrected him on it. And the one guy was in the van and he started talking ugly, using the Lord's name. I said, listen, we already made a decision. We don't hear that mess. You're not doing that here. He said, this is America. I'll do whatever to bleep, 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 bleep. You know, because that's what real men do that didn't graduate eighth grade English. That's why they talk like that. They failed English. They didn't learn any more words. They only know several. And I said, look, you can use all the rest of them. Just don't use my Lord's name in vain. And he did. So we threw him out of the van. While it was moving, he never did it again. We were only going like half a mile an hour, but... Will we stand for something? Even if the world doesn't like us? And you know what? A long time after that, that same guy, it took months. He was mad at me. I was younger. Months later, that guy came up to me, repented. He said, you know, I know the Lord too, and I shouldn't have been using his name in vain. Thanks for throwing me out of the van. Some guys are tough. They're thick. Some guys, you got to throw them out of the van. I could have done it a different way. But I just want to encourage you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know who's around you. But they're heading for a Christless eternity. And the Holy Spirit, he has come so that you would be set free and that you would be a witness to those that are around you, amen? Will we love God and our neighbor enough to speak the truth to them which is the Word of God? Or will we just walk through another week trying to avoid any kind of conflict with the world and let them dive into a Christless eternity? Please, church, let's use our time wisely this week. Let's walk in the power of His Word. Let's walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's utilize what God has called us to do and the time that He has given us to do it. This is our generation. I don't know how many generations are coming after us. I don't know how many there will be. Maybe you're the last generation. And you know, we were having a discussion the other day, if Jesus isn't coming back until the last sinner repents, right? Isn't that what the Word says? To the last one, repent. Jesus isn't coming back to the last one. Who wants to be the one that leads the last one and bring Jesus back quickly? You see, we all work together. We can preach the Word, the gospel in every country there is, get all the sinners to repent, and then Jesus will come back. We go home. But He ain't going to do that sitting here doing nothing. Well, then stand up this morning. Come on. Listen, this is the day He's made. Amen? It's a day that you walk in victory. It's a day when you walk in power. It's a day when you walk in authority. It's a day when you know you are loved by your God. There's no doubt that of God's love for you because He sent His only begotten Son. Amen? There's no doubt about His love for us. What about our love for Him? Can we express His love? He's washed us. He's cleansed us. He's made us whole. He gave us gifts that we didn't deserve. And even when we do it with an edge sometimes, especially when we're younger, God still has grace for us and He doesn't take it from us. What an amazing Father. Even if you don't do it all right. Right? If your kid, the first time he's going to drive the family car, he says, thanks, Dad. Slams it in drive, smokes the tire sideways out of the driveway. Do you give him the keys again? I don't think so. But think about the grace of God. We said, thank you, Lord. I'll serve you all my life. And we serve nowhere. Lord, I'll proclaim you, and we proclaim nothing. I just want to encourage you. Listen, they don't have a chance outside of you. How many other churches are there in Hudson that are preaching the gospel? That are teaching the truth? You're the gift. You're the gift of God for this time and this season. You're the most powerful entities on the planet because of who lives on the inside of you. Nothing's impossible because you believe. Nothing's impossible. I don't care how crazy it is. Darren Dusso was telling me years ago he had the headaches that he couldn't see, he couldn't work, he couldn't do anything. It hurt so bad. And then God healed them. One day God healed them. They came back again. For weeks, couldn't even stand up, couldn't look at light, couldn't do anything. They're gone. Sometimes you got to stand. Sometimes you got to stand. And you're going to have to walk through believing God, trusting God. And you know what? He said, I can't believe the freedom that God has given me. And I don't want to waste a moment with it. Don't waste a moment this week, everyone. I beg you. Some babies are hurting. You're the answer. Some teenagers are looking for leadership. Men, there's young boys in this city. Look at Hudson just had to cancel their football season. Too many boys were flunking out and too many of them were suspended for bad behavior. They don't know if they're going to have a season next year. They might try to combine with another school. They're talking to different schools about combining because the boys are so out of control. So much of that has to do with coaching, number one. When you get them on the field, Taconic Hills played Coxsackie on Friday night. My son stood on the sidelines of Taconic Hills. He said, you know, I work in a construction company. He said, I heard more F-bombs with the boys on the sideline, our own team, than I hear all week in the construction zone. Teenage boys. See, there's not strong male leadership. Why are these boys having problems? There's not strong male leadership. But we love them enough to grab a hold of one and say, come follow me as I follow Christ. I'm too busy. I got things to do. You're not mine. Yes, they are. They're all ours. They're all ours. There's needs everywhere you look. Will you meet a need this week? Will you find one to love, to pour into? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. When we lay down our lives, we pick up his cross, and we follow him. These boys, these girls, they need you, ladies. You ladies are tough. You're the toughest ones I've met. I've seen what you had to live with, including my wife, of course. And you can handle these young girls, and you can love them the way they need to be loved. You're the answer for a lost and dying world because of the Christ in you. Let's go touch some people's lives this week. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the men and women here. I thank you for the joy that they bring to your heart as we come and we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for the power of your word that never returns void but always accomplishes that which you sent it to do. We thank you that where it says the word of God, where the word of the Lord is, there's power. So, Father, there's a powerful word that never returns void and always accomplishes every task when we speak it in faith. Let us be those men and women that speak faith every morning, noon, and night. Let us not hesitate or hold back, but let us always cry out to every single one that we see walking in darkness. Lord, that we would be the courageous one, a generation that proclaims the goodness of God. For you have set us free from the fear of man. You have set us free from the enemy. You have set us free from every curse that's ever been spoken. Oh, we truly are free indeed this morning. Let us use our freedom to set others free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Please go tell them about the goodness of their God. For he's got a plan and a purpose for their lives.